Good morning. Oh, wow. Come on. Y'all can do better than that. Good morning. Welcome to Morning Praise at Liberty Baptist Church. Good to have you all here this morning. It's a beautiful day, don't you think? It's not 5 degrees outside. You know, somebody told me the other day they love snow, and I said, well, I love to see snow on TV or in a painting or a picture, but I don't prefer snow around here, so. I know some people do, but I'd just be all right. Even Gracie likes snow, but I prefer not to have to drive in it. So thank you for being here this morning. If you got your bulletin, you'll see some announcements on here. Let me go through very quickly. We'll be lighting the Advent candle this morning, the second one. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering our goal is $1,500, and we will start receiving that offering today. So as with the other offerings, as you go out the main door, you can drop your offering in the little wicker basket, I guess you call it, on the right-hand side as you go out. And there should be Lottie Moon offering envelopes probably in the pews and also in the back foyer as well. So, or if you have a regular envelope, you can just put Lottie Moon offering on it, be fine, either one. January 3rd starts the new women's Bible study, Jesus and Women, at 4:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And then the Bible journaling class is this afternoon at 4:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Lindsay will be leading that. WMU Christmas Party is the 17th in the Fellowship Hall at 6:30. So I'm sure there'll be all kinds of good fun and fellowship and food there. So if you want to crash a party, that's probably one you might want to crash, right? So, let's see what else. Wednesday night Bible study for the adults in here at 6 p.m. and the kids are next door at 6 p.m. on Wednesday nights. What else? Anything else I need to? Oh, the tree. Isn't the tree lovely? The old tree. This is a new tree. The old tree, after about 3 or 4 years of having to fight with the lights when we hooked it up Wednesday or Sunday night, and only like 6 lights came on the whole tree. I said, this is just too much, forget it. So we trashed the old tree, and this is a brand new tree. I picked it up this past Monday. So, and Lindsay spent all day, I guess, Monday night. Tuesday, okay. Okay. So when you see Lindsay, let her know you appreciate the work she did. We had everything else up, but she had to do the tree by herself, I guess by herself, Tuesday. Yeah, that would be good not to do that. Also, the heating system in here, I know you guys that were here Wednesday night, it was pretty cold because both furnaces were out. Now, this one is now working. We're waiting on parts for this one over here. But I think we've got this one kicked up high enough that it'll be okay. But if you get too cold, let us know. The fellowship hall, thankfully, is working fine. And in fact, it was pretty warm to me Wednesday night. I think the kids were plenty comfortable over there. Okay, any other announcements? I know we've got a bunch of prayer requests. If you hadn't already heard, Donald is in Prattville Baptist Hospital. You know, he's been fighting the pulmonary issues for almost a year. And they said, been going to the VA. Well, he went to the ER. What night was it? Sunday night? Was it Sunday night? Whatever night it was. He went to the ER, and they put him in the hospital and said he had double pneumonia. And they've been treating him for about a week over there. He's supposed to see a pulmonologist Monday. So keep Donald in your prayers. Kim is about the same, but hers is, I think, asthma. But keep her in your prayers as well. Okay, anybody else? Yes? Thank you. The angels are on the wall. There's probably half of them maybe gone now. There's 3 separate families. I think she said, is it 9 kids? 9 total kids, a lot of kids. So pray, and if you feel led, please take one, and we need to get those back, obviously, as soon as we can, because the Sunday before Christmas will have to be in by then. The only 2 things to remind you about is if you do take an angel and you buy the present and wrap it, make sure you put the angel on the outside of the paper so that Cynthia, because she's not like Superman, she can't see through there, so that way she can figure out who that present is for. And also, if you get one that is a gift card, please include the receipt in the package with a gift card, because there's been a few cases where for whatever reason, electronically the gift card didn't work and they couldn't prove that it was active. So it'd be good to have that. Okay, anything else? Ashley has her hand up. Yes, ma'am. Are you going to come up here?
No.
Oh, okay. So is this like a, you fill the stocking with stuff and we take the stocking to shut-ins? Okay, excellent. Okay. All right. Very good. Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you. I know I'm starting my class back in January, so but I won't need any material. We'll just use scripture. But any Sunday school teacher, life group teacher that needs material, make sure you let Jennifer know ASAP. Okay? Yes, don't forget that. We mentioned it last Sunday, but the food pantry needs to be restocked because we've used it and it's about depleted. Okay, anybody else? That's the box that's out there in the foyer. Okay. Okay. All right. And Lindsay just walked in. Thank you. We were just admiring the tree. Thank you for the hard work. And Daniel, thank you for babysitting so that she could do that. So, all right. Anybody else? All right. Well, Trey, you shaking your head, man. You're not going to come up here and light the tree? I mean, light the tree. Light the candle? You're not going to do it. This is no, this is yes. You're not going to do it? You're not going to do it. Are you got stage fright? You do? Okay. Well, I won't make you come up here. So we're going to light the first candle that we lit last week, the first candle of Advent. Anybody remember what it was? Hope, that's right. Well, this week, if it will actually light, I should have pre-lit it like a pre-lit tree. All right. The second candle is what? The candle of peace. The candle of peace. So the kids with the king, we're talking about that today. And the first verse of scripture we want to look at comes from John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus speaking here says these words, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, you know, this was, Jesus spoke these words over 2,000 years ago to a very troubled world. And guess what? 2,000 plus years later, we are no less troubled. As a matter of fact, we're probably even more troubled today as a world, as a culture, as people, than they were 2,000 years ago. So you might say, where is the peace? Well, the peace that the world does not have is because the world cannot have the peace of God, because the world doesn't have the source of peace, because Jesus Christ is the only source of peace. You can never be at peace until you have peace with God. And that only comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The second verse of scripture we want to look at comes from Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, verse 14. Angels speaking say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," what?
Peace.
Goodwill toward men. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He also says, "My peace I give to you." Now, we already got a few Christmas presents under the tree over here, and you may have some under your tree at home. And we all have a Christmas list. You know, some of us use Amazon wish lists now, and people go and get things off your wish list. But the greatest gift you will ever get was given over 2,000 years ago, and His name is Jesus Christ, because He came to give you life and life more abundantly, and with that life, perfect and complete peace. There is no peace without Jesus Christ. Amen. Michael?
All right, been waiting all year to sing some of these great hymns, so let's stand up and sing it all together, all four verses. Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel.
Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Our spirits by thine advent here, disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come. O Israel,
and the third,
O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her way. Mind all peoples in one heart and mind, bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease, fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, shall come to thee, O Israel.
Brother Larry.
Amen. Take just a moment, turn around, blow a kiss to somebody behind, let them know that you've missed them and glad to see them here today. Join me as we pray. Father, we do love you and praise your name. Thank you for the blessings that you so richly bestow upon us. Thank you, Father, for the season of peace, the season of giving, the season of joy, the season of acknowledgement of who Jesus Christ is and who he is to us. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to celebrate such a wonderful gift, a wonderful love. Lord, thank you that we can not only experience, but we can also proclaim and demonstrate the peace that comes only from Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that in the midst of conflict, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of darkness and doubt, that we might truly reflect the light of love, the light of truth, the light of life that comes only from you. Father, we pray for each one here this morning, for the families, that you would bless them. We pray for those who cannot be here today because they're sick or because of the virus situation. Father, we pray for their peace. We pray for those that are joining us electronically, Lord, that will be watching this and listening to this service, that you will touch their lives and bless them as well. Welcome here, Lord Jesus, in the person of your Holy Spirit, to receive the praise and worship that you alone are due. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quickly, don't forget on your bulletin here to tear off the section, fill it out, and drop it in the wicker basket as you go out with your prayer requests.
You may be seated to keep singing, but promise to keep singing. I will say this. I can't wait till they give us the all clear where we can actually mingle and shake hands again. I miss that so much. Anyway, you got to promise. Sing out for me, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, his name is called Emmanuel.
And this next hymn, again, we only do this once a year, so this is probably not going to be as familiar to some of you. Was one of my favorites, Sing We Now of Christmas. However, there's five verses. By the end, you'll get it. And
sing we now of Christmas, Noel, sing we here. Hear our grateful praises to the babe so dear. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we here Noel. Angels call to shepherds, leave your flocks at rest. Journey forth to Bethlehem, find the lambkins blessed. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we here Noel. In the earth they found him, Joseph and Mary mild. Seated by the manger, watching the holy child. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we here.
And the fourth,
and from the eastern country came the kings afar, bearing gifts to Bethlehem, guided by a star. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we here Noel.
And the last.
Gold and myrrh they took their gifts of greatest price. There was ne'er a stable so like paradise. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we Noel, the King is born Noel. Sing we now of Christmas, sing we here Noel.
You're going to be singing that the rest of the afternoon.
That is a great song. It is. It's a shame we only get to sing it once a year, but yes, it is. Here is the names of those we've been praying for, of our military, and then our first responders. Let's keep them in our prayers and others as well. Stand as we pray for them and sing this morning.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
And you may be seated.
If I was to ask you, what first pops into your mind about Christmas, whether it's Christmas growing up or Christmas today, I'm sure that I'd get all kinds of different responses. But I suspect if you took a large enough poll, a large enough audience, that a lot of their response about Christmas would revolve around lights. You ever thought about it? Christmas, as a matter of fact, sometimes Christmas is called Festival of Lights. Because if you have a Christmas parade with floats, what's all over the floats? Lights. You go up and down the roads, and as a matter of fact, when I was a kid, one of the main things we would do is, this, of course, gas was a lot cheaper back then, but we'd all pile in the vehicle, and we would go drive around to look at what? The lights. That's what you would say. Let's go look at the lights. So lights are important, aren't they? As a matter of fact, without the light of the sun, S-U-N, there would be no life here, right? Because grass wouldn't grow, trees wouldn't grow, crops wouldn't grow, stuff would die. You got to have L-I-G-H-T to have L-I-F-E, right? Biologically speaking, you can't have life without light, at least generally speaking. There's some exceptions, but that's very rare. So, okay, what is the importance of light? What does Scripture have to say about light? Well, it's got a lot to say about light. As a matter of fact, light throughout Scripture is synonymous with truth. That light, let me ask you, how much darkness does it take to put out light? You can't, can you? No matter how black the darkness, one small, tiny light shows the way. During World War II, sailors would get into serious, serious trouble at night if they were above decks and they lit a cigarette. You might say, what's the big deal? Because at sea, in pitch black darkness, a cigarette lighter light can be seen by enemy submarines, enemy airplanes, and enemy ships. You could literally cause your ship to be sunk because of a little tiny light. Because in the midst of the darkness, the little tiny light shines out. Well, we're going to be talking about light in the darkness today, because I think you would agree we live in a culture that is in the dark. And part of the problem today is not only is our culture, our world in the dark, but the world seems to be glad of the fact they're in the dark. They seem to be publicizing and rejoicing in the fact that they're in the dark, and they hate the light. They hate the light. We're going to be talking about that today. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you, Father, for your word. And guide us as we open your word, Lord, guide us to not only see the light, but help us to receive the light and then to walk in the light. Help us to reflect the light to a dark and a doubtful and a dying world. Lord, thank you for who you are, for what you have done, for what you're going to do in and through us. We give you praise. Father, I pray you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Three scriptures mainly we're going to be looking at today. First one comes from John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them saying, what? I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. Look at that. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He didn't say, I'm one of the lights. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Now, we talked about this before, but even areas that you know well, your house, If you turn all the lights out, you get up in the middle of the middle of the night, you don't have any lights going on, what are you probably going to do? You're going to stump a toe. You're going to fall over something. You're going to step on a dog, or you're going to do something because you cannot see. You cannot see. One of the things that we do as a rescue squad, now we're not a fire department, so we don't fight structure fires, but we go to structure fires. And at night especially, one of the things that we always do and that the fire departments always ask, our first out rescue truck always pulls a big generator, a diesel power generator with four bright lights that we erect at the fire scene to light up the area so you can see what you're doing. You might think, well, it shouldn't be hard at a fire. Well, yeah, it is. If everything around you is black and dark, we need the light. We can't walk if we don't have the light. The other night, driving to church in the rain and in the dark, they hadn't put the little reflectors out on 31 yet. It's sort of hard when there's about 5,000 cars coming this way to see where you need to be. We need the light, don't we? Yes. Jesus is the light, with a capital L. Second verse of Scripture, John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, in Him. Now, who's the Him? Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And then look at this. And the darkness did not comprehend it. The world does not know Jesus. The world does not want to know Jesus because the world is under the sway of Satan. Satan doesn't want you to know Jesus. Satan will be glad for you to go to church. Satan will be glad for you to talk about religion. Satan will be glad for you to do any of that kind of stuff until the day you mention Jesus Christ. Because Scripture says there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the light of the world. We put an angel or a star or something on top of the tree. We talk about, as a matter of fact, there's going to be what astronomers are calling a Christmas star event this year on the 21st, I think, when Jupiter and Saturn are in alignment. So it'll be a big celestial event. All that's great. All that's wonderful. But that doesn't help us navigate life. Jesus is the light of the world, and He will help us navigate life. Without Him, we will be groping around in the darkness. And it's just a matter of time until you stump your toe or do worse, because you cannot see where you're going and what you're getting into. Thirdly, from Titus chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Do not expect the world to be able to show you the way to go. Do not look to the world for guidance, and do not look to the conscience of man to dictate what is right and what is wrong, because man will trip man up. If you go through life doing what feels good, what you think feels right, you are going to be messed up. Because even your conscience will deceive you. Verse 16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Those that are saved are not those who say Jesus is their Lord. Those are saved who do have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Being in a church building does not save you. Going through baptismal waters do not save you. None of that save. Religion doesn't save you, or else the Pharisees would have been saved. Because you never had a more religious person than a Pharisee. Religion does not save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And only in walking in His light do we have the peace of God, the light of God, the life from God, and the future that He has designed for us. Three things we're going to be looking at today as we consider this light in the darkness. Light in the darkness. Now, the other night, and I think I shared this with some of you guys before, during the hurricane, tropical storm, whatever it was, the first call we had was way out 14, and it was pitch black dark because there was trees across the road, the wind was blowing, the rain was blowing sideways, street signs were doing like that, trees were snapping off, all kinds of stuff. And we got out, and we were trying to assess the situation, and like, man, this wind is blowing, and the rain's blowing, and this tree's down right here, and we, you know, what are we going to need to do? And I said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is see what's going on. So I pulled a flashlight out, and I turned it on, and all around us, trees were dancing like crazy, which we didn't see in the dark, but when we put that flashlight on them, we decided we need to back out of where we are because we were in a dangerous spot. I wouldn't have known that without light. We may not realize how difficult, how desperate, how dark the world is without the light of Christ to lead us. Part of the problem is the world thinks that they're okay, don't they? The world thinks they're okay, and the world thinks if you're not going along the way they're going, something's wrong with you. And they'll tell you that. What's wrong with you? All this Jesus stuff. Do you believe all those? In fact, I had somebody tell me one time, do you believe all those stories in the Bible? What about all those errors? All those mistakes. And I said, well, you know what? I'd be upset to find an error. I said, which one are you talking about? And they said, you know all those errors. And I'm like, no, I don't know. Tell me, which one are you talking about? And they hem and hawed for about 10 minutes, and they finally said, well, you know, I don't really know for sure. I just heard. I'm like, yeah, Satan will tell you all kinds of stuff, won't he? Don't believe the darkness. Don't follow the darkness. It'll lead you to death. First thing, there is darkness all around us. Don't you think so? There is darkness all around us. And I tell you what, now, maybe it's just because of my age, but it seems to me it's darker than it used to be. Maybe it's not, but it sure does seem like it. I think it's probably more so that it's not darker than it was. It's just darkness is perceived as being normal now. Normal now. I have seen, and I don't really watch a whole lot of TV, so I don't have the TV on a lot. And so I'm probably underestimating the amount. But I have been surprised over the last few years the numbers of advertisements that are pushing quote unquote alternative lifestyles. Now you might say, they're advertising what? Well, they're advertising all different kinds of their products. But in the advertisement of their product, they are demonstrating that their opinion is that this alternative lifestyle is acceptable. It's okay. Don't you like that term? Alternative to what? Alternative to what? You know, you get maps. Now I know you guys don't use paper maps anymore, but even your GPS, Waze app, or whatever you're looking at, sometimes you will encounter roads that are called ALT. What does that mean? It means an alternative route. It means this road, for example, alternative county 40 up the road. What does that mean? It means if you take this road, it'll eventually get back to county 40, that they get to the same place. And in the world of roadways and road maps, that's true. But an alternative lifestyle is not going to end in the same place. An alternative lifestyle is going to carry you to a place you don't want to be. Ephesians 2 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, in spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who's he talking about there? He's talking about the devil. He's talking about Satan. That Satan would guide us down the path of disobedience and destruction and darkness. Why? Because that's what he wants to do. John chapter 10 is plain. It says, the thief, who is the thief? Satan. The thief comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. That's what he's after. And he will do it. If you don't know Jesus Christ, he will do it. Because there is no man nor woman ever created who can stand alone against Satan. He will eat you up and spit you out. But Satan cannot stand against the Spirit of God. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess who lives in you? The Spirit of God. Satan can't do anything with that. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're standing against Satan all by your lonesome. And that is a very bad position to be in. You see, the world, it is obvious from Scripture and it's obvious from observation that the world is under the sway of Satan. Scripture says he is the prince of the air, the ruler of the world. You might say, I thought God was more powerful than Satan. He is, but he has given Satan space. I don't know why, but he has. He has given Satan space, and Satan is running amok. I saw a meme the other day on Facebook. Somebody was lamenting how bad 2020 has been. And in a lot of respects, it's been a horrible year. There's no doubt. And they said, well, let's get rid of 2020. Here comes 2021. And the little picture on the meme was a tunnel, and there was a light coming out of the tunnel, and it was a freight train with fire blazing out the side of it. Said 2021 may be worse. And that's right. And I'm going to tell you a secret if you didn't already know it. It's going to get worse. Until Jesus returns, it's going to get much worse. You think 2020 is bad? Think about the tribulation. It ain't got bad yet. It will. The wisdom of man. Man thinks man is all that. Don't believe it? Ask them. They think that we know it all. Look how much better we are. Look how far we've come. No, we haven't. We can get places faster. We can Google stuff now. Boy, if you don't know anything, what do? We got a new word. We Google it, don't we? I don't know what the recipe is. I Google it. Don't know what so-and-so means. You Google it. Do they let you Google stuff in school? Can you Google? I didn't think so. You do have to learn some things, right? But we think we can Google everything. But what happens if the cell towers go down? What happens if the internet goes down? Well, if you go to the bank, they can't make change if the computers are down. We rely on all this stuff. And Satan is sucking the world, the life, out of the world. You guys know what a constrictor is. There's two kinds of snakes, basically. A venomous snake and a constricting snake. Because a snake kills, don't it? A snake doesn't eat grass, doesn't graze like a cow. A snake, all kinds of snakes, every snake ever made eats some other living creature. Venomous snakes bite them and kill them and eat them. But a constricting snake grabs them. And what do? They slowly squeeze the life out of whatever it is. That's what Satan's doing to the world. Slowly squeezing the life out of the world. And the world is letting him do it. And the scary thing, in a lot of cases, the church is standing by and watching it. The wisdom of man is not true wisdom. It's not really enlightenment. It's deception. It's deceit from Satan. The world and those that are following the world are blind leaders of the blind. You know, I've seen people that are legally blind, actually doing pretty good in the environment. You know, they'll have the little white canes with the red tip, and sometimes they'll have a seeing eye dog. And boy, those dogs really, really fascinate me. I am enamored by those dogs. I've seen them. They'll be coming up to an intersection, and the dog stops because it's not safe to cross the street. And that blind person is completely and totally relying on that seeing eye dog. And you might say, well, he's being led around by a dumb dog. Well, that dumb dog can see and knows better than to cross the road. But the blind leaders of the blind are taking culture out into the road in traffic. And Satan is behind it. You see, no matter what they couch the problem that we have currently having to deal with, ultimately the problem is genetic. And it's called sin. And it will kill you. So there's darkness all around us. We live in a world full of darkness. But beyond that, number two, there is darkness in us as well. Oh my goodness, the darkness without is bad enough, but the darkness within makes it even worse. Because Scripture says there is none righteous, no, not one. We're all in the same lot. We're all in the same lot. And then even worse, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart, this is the heart of man, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Man, that is a horrible picture. But that's an accurate picture of who we are without the Spirit of God. Deceitful and desperately wicked. Deceitful to who? To ourselves. You don't think you can deceive yourself? Oh boy, you can. Yeah, you can. How many folks have I known that said, you know, I don't really have to study for that test. I'll just look over, you know, the night before the test and I'll be fine. And then they bomb out on the test and wonder what happened. I've had, and not always young people, but I've had folks get in trouble for doing really stupid stuff. And you'd be talking to them and you say, at what point in time did you think that was a good idea? Oh, well, it felt like it at the time. Well, does it feel like it now? Nope. We got this darkness within us. Even if we're saved, even if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, even if God's Spirit lives within us, we still have a fleshly nature. That's why we can be tempted, because sin, let's just be honest, sin appeals to us. If it didn't, we wouldn't do it, would we? I'll tell you something else too. If the consequences of sin was immediate, we probably wouldn't do it either. But the consequences are, now there are always consequences, don't get me wrong. But sometimes the consequences are not immediate, and we think because they're not, oh, everything's good. Everything's good. Somebody was telling me the other day that they were in a rush somewhere. I don't remember now what interstate it was, but it wasn't around here. But they were flying down the interstate. They said they knew they were speeding, but they had a reason they needed to get there. So they justified to themselves, I got to get there. So they were flying. They said, yeah, I was flying. And he said, I saw a trooper sitting at the overpass, but it was too late to slow down. So he said, I just kept going. He said, I looked in my mirror, and the trooper didn't move. So he said, everything's good. He said, oh, no, it wasn't. Because at the next entrance, the trooper was sitting side of the highway, and he just radioed ahead. And he said, that trooper, he got him right there and gave him a ticket. He said, I got by with it, but I didn't. Sometimes we think we get by with stuff, but we don't. Our righteousness, Scripture says, is as filthy rags. We don't impress God with our righteousness. You see, we cannot earn our way into heaven. You can't be good enough. That sounds pretty bad, don't it? Oh, that sounds like the darkness has the upper hand. And to look at everything, you might think, well, it does. But that's not the end of the story, because number three, there is a light for us. A light for us. The other night when I got out of that truck in the pitch black darkness, I had a light that dispelled the darkness. Well, we have a light that will dispel the darkness all around us, and His name is Jesus Christ. His birth, His gift to man, is what we celebrate on December 25th. That's why we light the tree, because He is the light of the world. That's why we light the wreaths. That's why we light the candles. That's why we have Christmas lights. That's why the Jews have the Hanukkah, Festival of Lights. It's because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We do not have to walk in darkness. We do not have to be controlled by the darkness that is inside us. We can be people of the light. We can walk in the light. And we can reflect the light, because He is the light, and He will take up residence in our lives if we will but let Him do that. Amen. You see, He will show us the way. We just have to follow Him. We have to follow Him. You know, when we go to a search, most of the time we'll have either a bloodhound or a German shepherd, usually, that'll be the dog that's doing the search. And we know the point last seen. We know where this kid or this older person or whoever it may be, we know where they last were at, but we don't know where they went. We're relying on that dog to show us the way. So it's sort of humorous sometimes. You got this dog on a leash and everybody's following that dog. We hope the dog knows where they're going, because we don't know where they went. We don't know in life, maybe, where we need to go. Maybe we don't know the decision we need to make, but Jesus does, and we need to follow Him. Sometimes He may ask us to do something that is scary. Amen? Sometimes He may ask us to do, well, actually, a lot of times, He will ask us to do something that is uncomfortable. I don't know what's out there in that darkness. You know, I want to stick my toe out there and see, you know, what's out there. But what did Jesus say? Follow me. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you what's out there. He just said, follow me. He's walking on the water. Peter said, bid me come. And what did Jesus say? Come on. And bless his heart, what did Peter do? He jumped out of the boat, and yes, Peter walked on the water. He is the only person besides Jesus Christ, as far as I know, that ever walked on water. Now, he didn't do it a long time, but he did walk on water. I never have you? But he got out of the boat, and he followed Jesus. What about you? Are you walking in the darkness today? Or are you walking in the light of God's love, of God's truth? Are you making your decisions based on what He says here or what you feel like you need to do? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you are a Christian, if you have known Jesus Christ, especially for some years, and you spend time in His Word, then your conscience, your spirit ought to be getting good, or better at least, at discerning right and wrong. But even then, if you trust only your feelings to make the right choice and follow the right path, you're putting yourself at potential for being hurt. We want to follow His direction. We want to follow His Spirit. We want to follow His light. We want to walk in the light as He is in the light. Those of you that have ever been hunting or something like that, you know, the person that's leading the way has got a flashlight. And maybe they got a map, or maybe they just know the way. And you don't, what are you doing? You're watching that light and you're going to follow them. I was reading something the other day interesting to me about, you know, in World War II, especially after the Allies invaded Europe, to sustain the advancement of the armored and mechanized forces, especially moving toward Germany, they had a crazy supply chain set up. And part of that supply chain was fast-moving army trucks. A regular old army truck carrying all kinds of fuel, ammunition, food, and supplies, one after the other. Well, guess what is a good target at night? Is a whole convoy of army trucks with their headlights on. Man, German aircraft or artillery, either one, would love to see that, and they'd just blow them away. So they couldn't run with their lights on. So what'd they do? One truck in the convoy runs with his headlights on. That is the lead truck. Everybody else follows a little tiny red light that's at the tail of the truck in front of him. You're trusting that driver in that front truck knows what he's doing, and you following him. The guy behind truck number two's following the little red light on truck number two. Truck number four is following truck number three, and all the way down to truck 52 or whatever it is at the end, following the little red dot on the truck in front of him. We don't know where we're going all the time, but Jesus Christ does. We need to follow Him no matter how big the light may look. Amen. So I'm going to ask you today, are you walking in the light? Are you following Him? Or are you walking in the darkness? Here's your compass point. The perilous dark times that we live in were foretold. We're not surprised by it, are we? We knew it was coming. But we do not grope around in the darkness like the blind, because we have Jesus Christ as the true light to follow. Follow that light. If you don't know Him, be introduced to Him today. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to be your Lord and Savior, to be the light of your life, and that you will follow Him from henceforth forevermore. Don't leave this building until you have decided who you will follow. The way of darkness to death and destruction, or the way of light to life, abundant and eternal. Father, thank You for Your Word, for Your presence in our lives. Father, for the truth of Your Word, for the light of your word. Thank you especially for the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly if we will just surrender to him. Father, help us to do that, to confess our sins to you, to ask forgiveness, to ask for Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to come into our heart and life and save us and be the light to shine the way to our feet and to our path. Father, help us to reflect the love that you have, the truth that you have given to a lost and a dying world. Help us not to be swayed by the allure of the darkness. Help us not to be confused by the cadence of the world, but rather to walk in unison and in step with your Spirit. Lord, the altar is open today. We are your people. Help us to make the decisions that lead to life and that honor and glorify you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Will you stand?
Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shame,
thank you for your time, your attendance today. Don't forget to pray for those who are sick, for Donald and others. Hopefully he'll get out Monday, but it depends on what the pulmonologist says, so keep him in your prayers. Then don't forget 4:30, the Bible journaling next door in the fellowship hall. Okay, anything else we need to hear before we dismiss? Thank you, Amber and Diane, back in the back, filling in for Donald. Amber was here before I was this morning, so thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? All right, Mike.
One more time, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. Name is called Emmanuel.